Welcome back. It is our great pleasure to be with Paul Hawken, who is talking about the largest movement in the world coming into being, why no one saw it, and he calls the book that he wrote around this important big idea, Blessed Unrest. Titles are important. Why is it blessed and why is it unrest? Why isn't it revolution?
Well, when the book started 14 years ago, and I was giving speeches, and I would meet people, and they would give me their cards, we'd exchange them, I would put them in various pockets and backpacks, and come home and dump them on my kitchen table in the houseboat I was living in, then I would look at the cards and read them, in a way to honor them, to remember. Sometimes they had little notes on them. And then I'd put them away in a drawer. And that drawer was emptied into a big shopping bag in my closet by my housekeeper one day. And the bag continued to fill with cards until it was full. And when it was full, this book was born. And it was born of a simple question originally, which was, how many social justice and environmental organizations are there in the world? And it was no more than that, and no less than that. And as a person born and raised in a library, my father was a librarian at the University of California, Berkeley, I just thought it would be a simple task to find the answer. Everybody knows something in America, and I could not find out. I could look at tax records, which were notably incomplete and defunct in many cases. And there were smaller directories hither and thither. And I started to research the number. And as the number became higher, 30,000 and 70,000 and 100,000, 100,000, I said, wait a minute, let me check back in the records and find out, is there any social movement that is comparable with 100,000 different organizations? I found none. And it was during that time that I went to Seattle, 1999, to protest. I didn't go to write, I went to protest, just put my little bum down on the street. And when I left there, 4 days later, I went to Washington, D.C. to give a talk, and I got the Post and the New York Times and the L.A. Times to see what was written about Seattle. And I was appalled.
Let us say specifically what Seattle was.
Seattle was the when civil society belled the cat of free market fundamentalism, basically.
That's it.
And said to the people meeting in the green rooms who were deciding trade policy for the world that there was some stakeholders missing.
And WTO didn't get to have it just its way forever.
It did not. That meeting failed, and there was a piece today in the New York Times saying that the whole system of globalization, IMF, World Bank, WTO, now is in crisis.
In 2007, it took that long to identify a crisis that was in the making?
That's lightning speed in our...
That is really, yeah, that is not glacial. That is overnight. And of course, the fact is that the crisis is being admitted. The crisis occurred a long time ago. But during that time, and I wrote about Seattle, N30, November 30, the first day of the protests. And in doing the research about it, I discovered that the method of organization, how the protests were organized, really went back to the encuentras that were conducted in 1990 and 1992 in Quito, Ecuador, when the first peoples of North, Meso, and South America first got together and met since the conquest. And this scheme, if you will, of organization that was headless but very well integrated and coordinated began to, in a sense, made me realize that not only was there a lot of organizations, but there was something going on laterally here in terms of organizing. So the title of the book went through 5 iterations. And the first one was Uprising, and then 9/11 happened. I thought, no. So the second one was The Forgotten, The Excluded, and The Uninvited, which had the grace of poetry. There was Subcomandante Marco's phrase, but it was a little doer. And the next phrase was The Other Superpower, which had a lot of bravura, but it didn't take long to realize that one is enough, we don't need another one. So
and that was playing off a very famous headline that there were now 2 superpowers in the world.
February 13th, 2003, in the New York Times.
And one was the United States and one was the people of the world.
Yeah. And then the next title was We Interrupt This Empire, which had humor going for it. But it wasn't until I was in Namibia 2.5 years ago and I read this quote by Martha Graham. And she was...
Martha Graham, a dancer.
A choreographer and dancer.
75 years ago.
Talking to Agnes DeMille. And Agnes DeMille had come into town. She had choreographed a show that had won an award or awards. It was fabulous. She had come back 6 months later and the show had collapsed. And she was so dismayed. And it was her work. Her name was on the, you know, the marquee. And she was complaining, and they went back to Martha's place, Brownstone, after the restaurant meal. And standing on the sidewalk, Martha Graham turned to Agnes DeMille and said, you know, don't forget, we are artists. And as artists, we are never satisfied. There is this queer dissatisfaction, this blessed unrest that makes us march and makes us more alive than the other. And I just thought, here was a quote that had arms big and strong and wide enough to hold this unnamed movement without determining what it is, without defining it. Because even though I try to describe it in Blessed Unrest, I'm pretty careful not to delineate it and say what it is and isn't in some ways, because I feel that it's formative. Your analogy to quickening, It is not peaking. It is actually, I think, just starting in some ways. It has a long, long history, but in terms of its rate of growth, it's one of the fastest, probably the fastest growing movement in the world. And so I think we have to treat it tenderly in terms of naming it or thinking that we know what it is. And I felt Blessed Unrest described it without doing that.
There is a wonderful parallelism in this. I find increasingly that ecology covers a great deal of how the world works, and certainly at least how I see the world.
Great. Rachel Carson would certainly agree with you.
Well, yes, and I mean, this book is full. It is if nothing else, and it is a great deal more, an example. A series of examples of ecologies, the existence of ecologies and the interaction of ecologies and the huge, I mean, you know, Gaia is one way of looking at it, but in some ways that's almost too simple-minded. Mm-hmm. It, in some ways is richer than that. But the exciting thing about this is it is organic, it is Darwinian, it is not inevitable.
Mm-mm.
But it is, as you describe it, a remarkable thing, just as a phenomenon.
Without delineating it, what are the parameters? How would you explain what the it is?
Well, what I would say first is that we sort of look for love in all the wrong places, that I think as a civilization in crisis...
Which you are saying we are.
Yes. We have a tendency to look for the next charismatic male vertebrate that's going to stand up somewhere, whether he is religious or she is political, and save us.
So that we don't have to do anything.
A person of such elegance and eloquence and integrity, a person of such vision and magnificence, you know.
Where is the leader?
That, you know, that finally, you know, the nightmare will be over and this person will show up, you know. And everything will change. And that vision is always shattered.
That's not how evolution works.
It doesn't work that way.
No, that is called a fairy tale for
a
reason.
And it's foisted upon us by other people all the time. And what I'm saying is that we call these organizations non-governmental organizations. Very interesting. But the real non-governmental organizations are in Washington, D.C. It's called the Senate and the Congress and the White House and the different cabinets. I mean, this is the area where we don't get governance. And this is not just true in the United States. And what we're seeing is people organize themselves to address the salient issues that government is failing at, which is poverty and climate and water and sanitation, economic polarization and the ravages of globalization, the death of the oceans, our soil. It's not just peak oil, it's peak soil. I mean, there's so many issues that are here that are being ignored, you know.
We're fostered,
and we're sort of whistling past the graveyard. And what you're seeing is a citizen movement arising, recreating and reimagining what true democratic process is, to solve and address these problems in place, in situ, in location, in every culture, in every city, every country in the world. And that's why it is now the largest movement in the world. It consists of over 1 million organizations, not 100,000, and it may be as many as 2 million. We don't know. We know it's over 1 million.
We have the illusion, because we have news 24 hours a day from 17 different channels in 22 different languages, that we are well informed about what's going on in the world. You talk about this movement, and you point out that it is not understood. It is not reported. We don't know about it because nobody tells us about it.
Well, we don't understand it because we looked for organizations or movements that want to aggregate power. Oh, we should pay attention. They're rebelling. They're fighting. They're marshaling their forces. They are organizing. They are protesting. However they do it, they want power. And we're accustomed to the idea that a social movement is addressing an imbalance of power, and therefore it wants to aggregate some to itself to regain some balance. And what we don't understand is that there's a movement arising that's trying to disperse the pathological concentrations of power. And we have no lexicon, we have no, you know, social vocabulary to understand that. So the tendency is to think, well, these people are powerless, you know, because they don't want power. And what they want is for us to be powerful, that is, the communities that they live in, the cultures from whence they came. And that is a very different agenda than concentrating power.
Paul Hawken is our guest. It is our honor as well as pleasure. He has written Blessed Unrest, How the Largest Movement in the World Came into Being and Why No One Saw It Coming. However, we can talk about it, and we will do so when we return in just a moment.